So John gave me the book that you have been using to kind of underpin your evening service called Unshakable Hope. That title certainly got my attention. The chapter that he gave me to look at was God Gets You. Well, to my mind, what a great starting point. God gets us. And then I started to consider, what might that mean? In fact, it might mean that God gets all of us, not just the bits that we like to show to people in public. He sees our highs, our lows, our successes, and even our failings. And yet, though, he still wants to know us. Our underlying scripture tonight is the chapter in Hebrews chapter 4, and can be found on page 1203. So Hebrews chapter 4, starting at verse 14. It's headed up, Jesus the great high priest. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Thanks be to God. Our high priest is able to understand our weakness. So before we go on to consider more about that, I wanted you to take a moment to perhaps consider something in your life that you might be finding difficult, or perhaps you haven't reached where you thought you might be, and what you might want to say to God about that. And at the end tonight, there'll be an opportunity for us to do just that. So as I read the chapter, it began to make me consider my own times of shortfalls. And I wonder, though, perhaps like me, have you ever kept things from our friends or family because they felt they wouldn't understand? And so what was the point in telling them? Or perhaps times of feeling that you weren't where you anticipated you would be in life. This is my second time in discernment, and it made me reflect back to my initial application to the ministry. At that point, and still, I felt so clearly God's call on my life, and yet I wasn't successful in my application. This was a real time of disappointment, but it was a real time of reflection and change in my life. And perhaps it would have been very easy for me at that point to have turned my back on God, or indeed not to have talked to God about it, because after all, how could he have known my pain, my sorrow, my isolation? 2 Corinthians verse 12, chapter 9. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That resonated with me over the last year. And God indeed did work in my life and opened the door and sent me to Palmerston Place. And yes, has indeed put me in many places, and here I am standing before you tonight. Colossians reminds us that Jesus, as a man, faced the trials we have faced. Therefore, we do not go unnoticed by God, but instead, through God, we are able to find mercy, peace, and love. That makes quite a statement. God was fully human and experienced pain and ultimate suffering. And yet, we still think that he might not understand our trials. We look back over Jesus' life, we see various accounts of suffering and pain and how he showed the same human weakness as you and I. Jesus was weary, so he sat down at the well. He was sleepy enough to doze off in the rocking boat. He was hungry in the wilderness and thirsty on the cross. And perhaps we still question does God understand us? Max's book points us back to Hebrews chapter 14. Jesus is the one who hears your prayers, understands your pain. He never shrugs or scoffs or dismisses physical struggle. He had a human body. Max highlighted these sections of scripture, and I wonder if we could take a moment just to consider these. Are you troubled in spirit? He was too. Are you so anxious you could die? He was too. Are you overwhelmed with grief? He was too. Have you ever prayed with loud cries and tears? He did too. While reading the chapter, this illustration struck me. While visiting Israel, Max was on a family holiday. He stopped to see the traditional spot for Jesus' baptism. The water looked invited to him, so in he waded and to be baptized. He went and immersed himself and declared his belief in Christ. He sank so low into the water he could feel the bottom of the river with his feet. When he did, he found a stick, which he took with him as a memento. Today he keeps that stick in his office and shares it with people when they're having a troubling or difficult time. He talks with them and tells them how God muddied his feet for our world, how he came to earth for this very purpose of becoming one of us. And let us then consider that if Jesus came this far to reach us, why then wouldn't we take our fears to him? During the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers with fervent cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. So then, we might consider our prayer life, how we use it or not. We use prayer regularly in our worship services. We pray when we start our services. We pray to confess our sins, to ask forgiveness. We pray in petitions, asking for healing, and thanksgiving for blessings received. Prayer is an integral part of our worship experience, but for many of us, it's much more. It may be part of our meals, part of our bedtime routine, and for me, certainly, it's part of my drive around town, usually stuck in long lines of traffic. Prayer is something that many of us enjoy on a regular basis. But have you ever considered how special this communion with God really is? Perhaps, and if you care to share with me, what words come to mind when you think of prayer? I think that's what's really special about prayer. We all have something that it means just to us. Perhaps it could be an opportunity to do something special or enjoyable, something regarded as a special honour. Sometimes, though, prayer could maybe be scary. When I started to think about it, the word that came to me was privilege. It's a privilege to come to God in prayer. It's a privilege to know that God hears us. It's a privilege to receive God's answer. A privilege to come to God in prayer. Prayer is a privilege offered to us, but not because of who we are. Because Jesus was human, he understands you. Because he is divine, he can help you. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. It then means we don't have to worry about where we're going, but where we are right now. By taking time to focus on the present and what we are grateful for, we can enjoy the journey as much as the destination. How often do we miss things because we're in too much of a hurry? It's not to say it's an easy thing to do. In fact, I would challenge us all to say it's actually really quite difficult. It takes practice. It's a habit. It's a building a relationship, and it takes time to develop it. Taking time each day to be still and listen for what God is saying, reading the Bible, and thinking about what the passage means to us. To be confident in God's timing, and to trust that no matter how difficult things seem, he's got us in it. Tonight we've considered how easy it would be to turn away from God in times of difficulty and heard the truth that Jesus understands our every hurt and pain and feeling of short failing. And in fact, it is such a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. When we feel that life is tough, prayer can be the last thing that we want to do. That's why we're grateful for each other. We can pray and carry each other when times are difficult. And when we aren't on the right path, we feel we should be. It would be so easy to turn our back on God. This poem often speaks to me when I feel perhaps I might be walking myself. It's possibly familiar to you. It's by Mary Fishback. One night I dreamed a dream. As I was walking along the beach with my Lord, across the dark sky flashed scenes of my life. For each scene I noticed two sets of footprints in the sand, one belonging to me and one to my Lord. After the last scene of my life flashed before me, I looked back at the footprints in the sand. I noticed that many times along the path of my life, especially at the very lowest and saddest times, there were only one set of footprints. This really troubled me, so I asked the Lord about it. Lord, you said once I decided to follow you, you'd walk with me all the way. But I noticed that during the saddest and most troublesome times of my life, there were only one set of footprints. I don't understand why when I needed you the most, you would leave me. He whispered, my precious child, I love you and will never leave you. Never ever during your trials and testings, when you saw only one set of footprints, it was then I carried you. Amen. I would like us just to take some time together to pray in silence, to give thanks to Jesus that he knows, he understands and sympathizes. He has come through it and can help us do the same. Let us approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Let us pray.